back in open.
Okay, back in open. Does anybody want to make a motion?
I'd like to make a motion that Michael Tagliente and Rob Walters act as on behalf of the board members and any future negotiations with Kelly and the City of Dallas, negotiations and changes in our pension.
Let me slightly rephrase that.
Sure.
Authorize Michael Tagliente and Rob Walters to negotiate with the executive director with the city to bring back a proposal to the full board.
I like your rephrasing much better.
Second that.
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Motion carries.
So I was thinking, because we're way over time and I don't know what your schedules are, there's really nothing that has to be done at this meeting. I mean, it probably would be good to hear the portfolio update. There's no other closed session legal items. We could do that and adjourn the meeting and do the supplemental meeting, or we could do everything. I don't know what your time looks like.
I've got a hard stop in about another hour.
45 minutes, 12:30.
We got 30 minutes.
Oh, we can get through it in. We will fly through this if we've got that.
15.
I have a lot more questions.
Oh, no. Surprise.
Your new trustees are sort of shy and retiring type.
Can you go to page 46, please? So while he's getting back to 46, we've got this new item, Rob, that we didn't have on the agenda when you were on the board before. Before, you might recall, the first thing the board did was adopt the consent agenda, and on that it listed who had retired and survivor payments and all that. The board has since changed that to, I approve those actions in accordance with the statute. And then on a monthly basis, I just report to you if there was anything unusual and the numbers. So this on page 46, it shows the month of April, which is the last retirement actions. And it also shows for comparison the prior 2 years. So in April, we had 15 refunds, which means people terminated and took their money. Only 9 retirements, 9 estate payments, and actually 9 survivor benefits. One divorce was finalized, and that's it. So there was nothing unusual, and I don't need a motion or anything on that unless you have any questions.
Yeah, welcome change. Thank you, Kelly, for the way you're approaching it. But I only have one question. Is I thought we were out of the drop business, but you've got a drop line item. Can you explain what that's about?
So drop is still in the plan. Financially, it doesn't make sense for people to enter drop unless they've hit their maximum benefit, which is a 90% benefit, and they don't expect to have like future big increases or promotions. So some employees will still continue to enter drop, but it's very few.
It's just a few.
It's right. Like a big, it's 0%.
Okay. Right. So the money will go into the drop account.
And nobody prospectively can sign up for drop. This is just dealing with a legacy issue.
No, this is new people. New people can go in, but their money that they would have gotten in retirement goes into a balance, and they can continue to be in drop for 10 years. When they get paid out, when they actually leave the organization, their drop balance will be annuitized over their expected lifetime, and they'll be paid out. But money that has gone into drop for the new people and the existing people since 9/1/17 doesn't get any interest. So basically, we're taking the money now and paying it out over their lifetime.
Which is great. Sure, you guys are comfortable. What you're telling us is, I mean, I believe that one of the biggest contributors to the situation we're in here is because we had a run on the bank in 2016 or 17. I just want to make sure that we're comfortable that there's no scenario where that could occur again.
There's absolutely no scenario. Nobody can get a lump sum payment out of a drop account unless they do a hardship, and we have very few hardships that are very difficult. There's very high bars to set. But no, there would never be another run on the bank. People are paid out over their lifetime.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item is also very quick. It is the contribution update. This page, which is hard to read on the screen, just really is a running track of the difference between what the city is paying us and what we believe the city owes us under the plan that the city that the board adopted. The middle column is what they paid us per pay period, and you can see they were kind of slow in the beginning of the payment, but about five lines down, they made up for part of that. And then the second to the right column is the contributions we believe are due under the plan that the board adopted, and then the last part is the contribution difference per pay period, and there's a running total. So far, their fiscal year started October 1st, and so year to date since the fiscal year started, the contributions are $7.8 million less than what we believe they would have paid under our plan. When I said earlier, I think I said earlier, that the difference between the city's contributions under their plan and our plan is about 5%, where I'm getting that, as you can see, under the last pay period, this 328 payment, the difference in contributions was about $360,000 between what they paid us and what we think they should have paid us. So $7.8 million shortfall between the two plans. In addition to that, as we were doing the negotiation and working with Chiron, the CFO committed that they would pay the city's budgeted contributions for fiscal year 24 because he wanted the numbers to start with that higher number. So he told Chiron, yes, I promise we'll pay that. They have not paid that, and that is another $7.3 million. So all the Chiron numbers starting at, you know, a low level. So in total, we believe they owe us about $15.1 million so far. Any questions on this item? Okay, moving right along. The board can go on education to conferences, local and actual. You can travel to conferences. We actually had some trustees attend a conference. The way you do that, there's a budget that gets set aside for trustees to attend certain events. If you want to attend something, our staff puts together kind of a list of upcoming and seekers trainings, as well as TechSpurs and anything else that looks interesting. If you're interested in attending these or anything else, just let us know. And the only thing that's required is you need to say, hey, I want to go to this conference, bring it up at the meeting, and then the board passes a motion for you to go to this. So you can see this one, Matt in February indicated that he wanted to go to the NCPERS trustee education training, and the board approved that. So if there's anybody who wants any training, let us know. We can add to the list and pass them up.
I want to go to the NCPERS trustee training and the experts in El Paso.
Okay. So can we get Tag indicated he wanted to go to number one and number five on the list.
So, I'll move.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. So, and the next item follows. Once you do go to training, what we have historically done is people that have attended training come back and they report out. We don't need to know kind of every little detail, but it's always good for the rest of the board to understand, did you think it was worthwhile? Did you not think it was worthwhile? That type of thing. So we did have...
So we're sending a guy to El Paso in August, and we think he's going to make it back?
That's dedication. Right?
We're going to send you. Smarter than that.
So just recently, the TechSpurs conference was down in Austin, and Michael Brown, Marcus, Matt, and Tag all attended that training. Did any of you want to talk about anything related to? And Tom was there also, but not.
Yeah.
He was there on his own.
I went to, I was only able to attend a couple of sessions because we were at the Capitol most of the time. To me, I said this before, I think we get good training here and kind of was review a lot of it about future responsibility and stuff. So it was solid. It was, like I said, I didn't get to see a lot. I saw our own Ken Haven presented on our drop plan of old. So that was, I got some historical education on drop. I didn't know it started in Baton Rouge, Louisiana in 83 until the other day. But overall, it's TechSpurs. It's good. The reason I want to go to El Paso is because I didn't get to go as many sessions as I would like. So, and I know I get value out of that when I go. So I'm looking forward to going to the next one.
It was my first one or first conference to attend. So all the training I've had so far has been online. So I don't really have a baseline to compare to others, but I did get a lot out of it. The sessions were good, but also just talking to other trustees from public service fire and East, just hearing their woes, hearing their successes, seeing how different it is, and I kind of made me realize the struggles that we have are the city of Dallas. We are. This is not normal. The difficulty and stuff. It was good. It was definitely a good use of my time. And like Tag said, it was split between going to the Capitol, not as much so as the Tag did, but going to the Capitol and doing that advocacy. Yeah, highly recommend.
And I should have mentioned that the TexVerse is a really great place to get your required training you have to do as a trustee. If you're ever interested, their sessions fit nicely into that. Okay, the next item, I was going to talk a little more in depth on it, but I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. So in 2024, I came to the board and said, you know, the nuts and bolts of this organization is our pension administration software. That's how we track the members from the time they start here, through every payroll, through every retirement, joining drop, when they pass away, and their beneficiaries. It's everything we do. We could not function without our pension administration software. We are, our current software, we implemented in 2003. Things have changed a lot since 2003. So we believe we need to upgrade that software or get a new vendor in. So we've gone through a process. We're kind of taking it in steps. I've updated the board before. The most recent step we took was we hired the firm Linea Solutions. They're a technology firm that specializes in pension software to come in and take a look at our gaps and our needs. We fall into this weird place where there's a lot of pension plans out there that are small and have really kind of basic benefits. And then there's big pension plans out there. And then there's kind of this middle group. And where we are is we're a relatively small plan, but our benefits are very complicated. So what I didn't know, and the reason I wanted to hire Linea, is for them to say, this group of pension softwares isn't going to meet your needs. They can't handle your benefit structure. This group of pension people are way too much bang for the buck. And is there a group that you can look at that could do the work? And that's exactly what they did. They came back and said, our current vendor, LRS, is a good solution, and there's a couple of other options out there. They're actually recommending that we continue looking at LRS, but we need to verify that they can handle our workflow. We have a very sophisticated workflow system that we implemented about a year and a half outside the system to track basically, you know, from the time somebody calls to say, hey, my father died, to we pay out the final payment. And everything we do works to that. So can they handle our workflow and also the document management? So there's some additional work we need to do with our current provider, as well as look a little deeper into the vendors. So the next step, I believe, is we work with Linea to help us further define our business process improvements. They did a 40-page gap analysis, so they have a lot of it. And then we work with them to define our requirements. From there, I would come back to the board and say, this is what we know. Here's the next step. So the only additional money, and I don't have an estimate yet, would be these kind of next two steps. That's basically where we are. Any of you have a concern if we continue to explore this? Once we do make a selection, we're probably talking $5 to $7 million for a system. The higher end systems were $10 to $12 million when we're looking at it. It's about a 3 to 4 year implementation process. It's a huge commitment, but you have to start soon.
What kind of pension gold
one? Yeah, so LRS pension gold is probably where we're leaning, if we can get comfortable with a couple of these other things. But we haven't made a complete decision yet. That's a recommendation.
Okay. And Kelly, is the current software package platform still supported? What language is it in, and are we going to lose people to kind of turning out of the employment window that actually understand the software? Because I know that can be a problem sometimes too.
So the current software, I can't remember your first question. The second one I was going to give
is it still supported? So
yes, it's still supported.
So they're still patching
and
it.
Their model is LRS, which is Pension Gold, our vendor, their model is they will always support every version. Mm-hmm. And we've been very, very happy with LRS. Our IT staff right now is John Holt sitting behind you, and he's been here for a million years and knows everything about the system. We also have one other IT employee that doesn't really work on the system, and then I kind of have a halftime person that does some technical stuff. So, John, do you want to address the...
How close are you to retirement, John?
I was looking about 5 years.
So that's kind of our window at that point.
Billy says I can't retire.
So we have no problem. We just chained him to the desk.
Yeah. LRS original system was done in basic, and they still support that. So, I mean, when we moved to version 2, which is the current one we're on, it was Microsoft wasn't supporting the software anymore, not the LRS. It's Box Pro, but in our sleep, we had to move to that.
Got it.
So, the great news here, I think, a lot of organizations have change issues. We do not have change issues. We have the best staff for, embracing change, I think, because we've been through a lot of change. And this workflow process that we went through has gotten everybody really excited to see, all the possibilities on the way we route things now and what could happen in the future. They are gung-ho to go. And if they could push a button and get the new software in, mm-hmm. every single person on staff would be for it, which is huge because that's often a huge hurdle you have with people. So we're very excited about that. Lenny even recognized that, wow, you guys... you were gung-ho, because their first process was supposed to be, let us convince your staff you need to do this. I'm like, check, we don't need to do that.
Right.
Done with that. So right. I think it's a great project. Okay. That's all I had on that. That's you.
All right. So not a lot going on in the market, so this should be pretty quick.
Yeah, no, he's good at all.
Let me get to the page here.
Sit down.
Okay, to start, I just wanted to remind everyone that we have a long-term asset allocation that we reapproved in the fall, and it's designed to be resilient, well-diversified, and meet all our liquidity needs. So given the current market conditions, I think we're actually pretty well-positioned. We have more than enough liquidity in the portfolio. We have enough in our cash and short-term bonds to pay benefits for through September of 27. On the private side, we still have some investments. We have no capital outlays. We haven't made any commitments, so no obligations or capital calls coming up on that side. Our equity portfolio is well-structured given the current environment, and we have a blank slate we're working with on the private side with new investments. Year-to-date return, this obviously depends on what hour and what day you look at it, but through March, it was up 0.7% for the overall portfolio and 0.3% for the public portfolio, which makes up about 80% of the assets. In terms of investment initiatives going on right now, April is a month of meetings, so we have a meeting a week from today with the subcommittee of the IAC to review direct lending private evergreen funds. So the two options are coming in next week. In 2 weeks from today, we'll have an IAC meeting where we'll talk about those interviews, and that subcommittee will make a recommendation up to the board for approval on the direct lending space. And then we're also in early stages of reviewing the multi-asset credit space, which was part of the public credit structure plan that we approved in January. So we expect to be able to issue an RFP for multi-asset credit pretty shortly after the April ISC meeting. And then we're also going to look at the private equity pacing plan in April, similar to what we brought to you guys at the January ISC on private credit, same thing on private equity, likely looking at secondary funds as an initial option. Talked to Allborn yesterday, and given the current environment, they like secondaries quite a bit, and they like them more given the volatility. Okay, just looking at equity market returns year to date. So this was through Monday. And you just probably look, but markets are down another 5% today. But our portfolio, public equities, was down 9.7%. That compares to our benchmark of the ACWI, which is down 11.6. So we have a little bit less U.S. exposure in our portfolio, have a bit of a quality bias. So we've been tracking it the last couple of weeks, kind of multiple times a week, and we've been pretty consistently about 2% above the benchmark for the equity portfolio. And you can see at the top of this chart here, EFA, which is international developed markets, are holding up quite a bit better than the U.S., and especially U.S. tech. International is down 5.2% compared to the equity, which is the global, down 11, and U.S. down 14%. And then today, U.S. is down about 4, and European markets are up quite a bit so far today. On that point, I'll show a little bit more detail when we get to the asset allocation, but we've talked about potential rebalancing back into the equity portfolio, given the drawdown, and where we might have some room to do that. So we'll look at that again probably later this week and then talk to Makita about that potential. This is just showing the same benchmark, three-year equity market returns as of Monday, basically showing almost all the returns of the last 3 years have been wiped out in the last month or so in the market. A few market charts to go through, and I'll get to more on our portfolio. This is just looking at S&P returns and the impact of the Mag 7. Obviously, they've been driving more than half of the returns the last 5 years. That dynamic kind of flipped where they're driving the returns, but they're driving them to the downside. So Mag 7 was down 24% through Friday. The S&P X Mag 7 was down 6.2. And as a reminder, we have quite a bit less exposure to those names in our equity book. I think we're about a third of the Mag 7 exposure in the ACWI in our equity portfolio. And then it's not just the international markets that are outperforming, but it's the currency impact. So on the chart on the left here, it's showing local market returns year to date across different geographies, and then the returns in U.S. dollars, which is how we invest. So the currency impact that, you know, strong dollar has hurt international markets in U.S. dollar for a U.S. investor, you know, for many years now, that dynamic is flipping a little bit too. So you can see, you know, for example, EFA is actually down 3.4, but in U.S. dollars, it's up 1.7 year to date. So this looks at the performance of our public market holdings through the end of the month. And we show this every month. Right now we're about 80%. That's up from, you know, low 70s last year and quite a bit less before that. But on our public equity portfolio, so I guess our overall, we're outperforming. We proxy the public portfolio to a 60-40 stock bond benchmark. We're outperforming over almost all time periods except for the 1 month there. On the public equity, you can see year to date, like I said, it's a bit dated, but we're quite a bit ahead of the benchmark. Boston Partners is our most deep value manager, and they have quite a bit. They're less than half of the ACWI exposure to the U.S. So their performance has been very good year to date. And I think just a reminder on endpoint bias, we had a lot of questions, or the board had a lot of questions on Boston Partners probably 4 months ago, given the U.S. underweight and where markets were at the time. So even though the red-green kind of mapping gives you guys a good snapshot where stuff is today, it can flip very quickly on here. And then just to go through the managers quickly for the new board members, Manulife Value Manager, Walter Scott is a quality growth manager. WCM is our highest growth manager. We hired them about a year and a half ago. The Northern Trust Passive Index, we have the most money in there. It's about 40% of the equity portfolio. And then Global Alpha's International Small Cap, and RBC is Eastern Shore's U.S. Small Cap, and RBC is our EM manager. Any questions on the equity managers? Okay, moving on to fixed income. So we've broken this out in the last few months based on the new asset allocation to fixed income and cash and public credit. The benchmark changed a little bit based on that. So the benchmark we're showing here is just a blended benchmark of the managers below and their target allocation. So the fixed income blended would be IRM 9%, Longfellow 4%, cash 3%, kind of blended up to combined benchmark. And you can see kind of just short term across both credit and fixed income, we're underperforming by a little bit. Most of that is our core fixed income managers take a bit more credit exposure than what's in the benchmark, similar dynamic on the public credit side. And then just longer term in the public credit composite, we had a manager, MetLife is our EM debt manager. We had a manager before that, Ashmore, that had underperformed by quite a bit. So when you look at the five-year track record, the history of the Ashmore investment is kind of dragging down public credit compared to the bench. The move ahead, just bridge chart year to date. This is showing benefit activity, investment activity, and where we ended last month in total assets. So we ended with 1.984 in AUM and almost flat year to date with 15 net going out to pay benefit payments and 14 million coming in from the investment side. This chart is looking at how much of our private asset inflows have covered our net benefit outflows the last 2018 till now. We've had very little activity coming back on the private market side year to date. There's a few potential sales, but I don't expect anything anytime soon. It's probably pushing out to later this year. But overall, our private asset inflows have covered almost all of our benefit outflows from 18 forward. This is a dashboard looking at the safe reserve, so that's the cash and the short-term bond allocation. So currently, we update this once a month. The net benefit outflows are running at about $6.4 million per month, negative cash flow. So the amount in the safe reserve of $188 would cover that for the next 29 months or through September of 27. And when we talk about rebalancing, you know, we've talked about that 9% allocation. Is that too much given the current level of outflows? I still go back to we're probably about peer average on investment grade, kind of core fixed income and cash, but I think it gives us a bit more buffer to look at rebalancing when markets are down, knowing that we have more than enough to cover well beyond the 18 months that we had talked about for the safety reserve. This is asset allocation detail. Kind of this bar in the middle is showing percent of target, so the few areas we're overweight right now that we could potentially pull from on rebalancing as in the fixed income and then in the bank loan portfolio, a little bit of a target there. Any questions? Okay, well, we got a lot of stuff coming up next month with the IAC and the subcommittee that have direct lending back to you guys to look at in May.
I think the next item is we had a Lone Star item and a legal item, but we don't really have anything for that this month. So we skip those, and we did it 11. Briefing items. This is still strange to me after almost 10 years here. On this executive director's report, the only things I put on there are things I think you're not going to have any questions about. So generally, it's nothing because it can't be a dialogue. So. What you have here is newsletters from NCFERS. We had a trustee in the past that asked to know how many open records requests we've gotten since the last meeting. So I'll tell you that. This time it was zero. If we get any, I'll let you know if they're open or closed or whatever. Sometimes there'll be staff updates on here, but there's usually nothing of substance because we can't have a conversation about it. So that's what that is. Strange. And that's it for.
Okay. Can I get a motion to adjourn the regular meeting?
So moved.
Second. Right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? You guys have it. We will now go to the supplemental meeting. Is there any public comment? Star 5 on your phone? Nope. Approval of the minutes. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes for the supplement, the regular meeting of March 20th?
It's the regular monthly meeting.
Regular monthly meeting of March 20th. A motion to approve the minutes?
Almost.
A second? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? You guys have it. So now, if I get a motion to adjourn the supplemental meeting?
Moved.
Second. All right. All
favor? Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it, and we are done.